This is Jason Marsden, voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this GCRN Year in Review special. What's on Joe's mind? Any other time, we're a weekly fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe, but tonight, we're bringing the recording gear out one more time before the end of 2011 to go over some of the best and worst moments from G.I. Joe of the last year. This is the first time you're hearing us. I'm Gary, otherwise known as Commander-in-Chief on the forums. Joining me is our man behind the curtain. And whatever he's doing behind the curtain, we don't want to know. But when he always comes out, he has a smile on his face. Everyone, please say hi to our showrunner, Greg.
Hello.
He's also known as Crosshair. He is the admin of GeneralJoes.com, which makes him some sort of rock star in the community or something. But tonight, he put the groupies on hold so he can be here to correct Chuck. You know him as General Hawk, but we know him as Justin. Everyone say hi to Justin.
What's happening, guys? How you doing?
Glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
You know our last host on the program as Chuck or Chuck Dog 1999, but on the program he is known to the three of us as, no, you're wrong, and what the hell are you talking about? But for the sake of tonight's recording, we'll just stick with Chuck. Is that okay, man?
That sounds good to me, buddy.
Awesome. And now we are off and running. It's probably one of our quickest intros yet. Greg, back to you.
All right, so let's talk about the top five and worst five items for 2011 in the world of G.I. Joe. So we'll start off with the worst first. Number one on the worst list is the ending of G.I. Joe Renegades, the animated series. We talked about it when it actually happened a couple months ago, but I think all of us were pretty big fans towards the end of the series. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, I was one of the few folks kind of pumping it up before it even aired. A lot of the artwork had turned a lot of people off, but I think those folks who actually stuck with it and watched it, most of them enjoyed it and really thought it was a pretty refreshing take on it and were kind of disappointed with it ended. I know I was definitely at the top of that list.
I ended up enjoying it much more than that overproduced, overhyped schlock show, Transformers Prime, and I thought it was going to be a horrible show.
Yep.
And I mean, the story just kept me interested until the very end. I was sorry to see it go.
Yeah, just when it was starting to get good, we had a kind of a tie-up of loose ends, and there's still some loose ends out there, and the toys were just that close from hitting along with the cartoon, and fail. They ruined it for us. So we'll see if it's really on hiatus or not.
Time will tell, but it certainly doesn't look good, especially when you go into a Target or a Walmart and see a bunch of pegs of Renegades figures hanging on the shelves and not much else. So, but who knows? I'll keep my fingers crossed. Jeez.
Where's your
other
finger?
A special show and I can't
Where's your other finger, Justin?
Just set the explicit tag in iTunes. I don't know.
All right, number two on the worst list was Quinn and Data Viper were shelved/canceled. So we saw our first glimpse of the action figure Quinn in Jungle Fatigues for the first time in nearly 30 years. And then we found out that he actually was not going to be coming out. And the same
Just
with
kidding.
Yeah, pull the rug out from underneath us. And then the same happened with Data Viper where we saw prototypes of it. And then we realized that it wasn't actually going to come out this year either. So sad day for both of those.
Yeah, it was a bummer, especially the Data Viper, just because we've been pretty much told that the Data Viper is dead in the water and not really to expect a whole lot from him. Quinn, at least, they're kind of still leading us along, saying they're going to find a way to get him out there. Just may not be until 2012, whereas Data Viper, they've basically said, tough luck, suckers. Maybe another time. So
Suckers.
It's a bummer. I kind of understand why they did it, and It would appear that by canceling Data Viper, maybe they're able to give us some more interesting stuff in the Marauders and Dreadnought 7 packs. I don't know if that's the case or not. It does seem to coincide with that tooling getting dropped. Hey, you never know. Maybe something good came out of it. But as of now, the lack of a Data Viper is pretty disappointing.
I agree with both of you. It's just, I mean, I was looking forward to Quinn a little bit more just because it was going to be nice to have like a stockier body type for customizers and what have you. Data Viper is like a new character. The look of him, I mean, it just screened fragile to me, so I wasn't that heartbroken over it, but it's a shame that both of them aren't going to see the light in 2011.
Chuck, since when do you care about customizers? 3 episodes ago, you said you didn't.
Well, no. I mean, I care, but I don't want figures to be designed just for their comfort. You know?
Remember, you're always on the record here on What's on Joe Mind.
Right. No, you
don't get away with anything, Chuck.
Nothing.
Look, I mean, if you want to know, I'm happy to see I was happy to see the Quinn figure because maybe somewhere down the line somebody can make a figure of me using that body mold. There, I said it.
That would be a lot of sculpty. That's all I have to say.
Anyways, yes, the Data Viper died for your fanboy sins, and it probably did resurrect 14 figures, which would be the Dreadnoughts and the Renegades, and if that's so, I will take that 14-1 trade. Quinn is not dead. We're going to get him one way or another. It's Daryl's baby. If he says it's coming, it's coming. I believe him. He's a fan just like us, thank God. So we will see him hell or high water. We don't know when that's going to be.
All right, number three on the list of the worst is distribution issues for figures this year. So waves 5 and 6 of Pursuit of Cobra were pretty much very, very hard to find in stores. And even then, it was pretty much only Walmarts. And then we had two different times this year where we had two waves come out within a month of each other. And the first part of that wave was, or the first wave of that group was always hard to find. So I think this is a year that people really had issues getting figures in stores when they wanted to.
Yep, I would agree with that. I mean, distribution for G.I. Joe hasn't been fantastic anyway, but you didn't really see a year like this year. And the real shame of it is a lot of people are kind of, you know, blaming 2009 and the rise of Cobra glut of product, and I can kind of agree with that. There was so much product out there that just didn't move. But what happens is that you get figure waves like this year in 2011 that were excellent and some of the best toys that Hasbro's produced in many, many, many years, and yet retailers are so gun-shy on the G.I. Joe brand, they under-order or they don't order at all, and you have some of the best figures that Hasbro has produced in recent years that aren't being given to retail stores for sale, or aren't being ordered by retail stores for sale, which is kind of a shame. There's a bunch of good stuff in waves 5 and 6 that just kind of never really hit the market, never really flooded the market. Thankfully, that's kind of been resolved a little bit as the 30th anniversary hit. I know at least waves 1 and 2 have started hitting retail pretty heavily again, but now we're running into the same problem with waves 3 and 4, where a lot of places are, those are kind of trickling out there, but they're not in heavy distribution yet.
Now, before Chuck goes real quick, Chuck, I will actually, since you have so much problem with distribution, I will defer my entire speaking rotation to you to give you extra time to talk about how bad distribution is in your area. All I need is 10 seconds. So, Chuck, go.
Well, no, all I was going to say is, you know, I think this was an issue that Hasbro's had the entire year with both its major brands. As Greg said, it was like those last two waves, 5 and 6, and it was, you know, on 4. I mean, I had honestly thought that by now we would have seen them just because stores would be putting them out now instead of the newer product. But, fool me, they're putting out the newer product. And it's a shame because there were some really great figures in those last two waves that other people are going to have to go through other means to get if they really want.
Pre-order your toys at KokomoToys.com.
Right? All right, number four kind of ties in with distribution, but...
Pimp.
I try!
But we have a very limited release of 30th anniversary figures. So initially when it was announced, it was supposed to be 30 for 30, so we were going to get 30 different figures and vehicles tied into the 30th anniversary of G.I. Joe, and that kind of got chopped with retaliation dropping in 2012.
Yeah, I don't know if we ended up getting a lot of stuff chopped, but I think the 30th, it's kind of a shame that the 30th anniversary got truncated the way it did. I think we got everything, or most of everything, maybe except for Quinn, that Hasbro had paired, but it still, it seems like it's not what the 30th anniversary deserved, or not what this kind of new rebranding of G.I. Joe deserved. I mean, if you sit there and you look at Wave 4, and you look at the Zombie Viper and Sci-Fi and Airtight and Lifeline, and you just want to weep because Hasbro's getting every single figure perfect just in time to say, all right, now we're stopping, time to move on to Retaliation. And you got to kind of just cross your fingers and hope that they continue full steam ahead with Retaliation toys.
I, again, have to agree with what's already been said. It's a shame that, you know, the 30th anniversary of the toy brand line that really helped establish Hasbro in the 1980s gets like a 4-month span. I mean, there should be, I feel, should have been a bigger celebration, but with the movie coming out, I understand what they're thinking, and, you know, we just have to deal with it.
Yeah, it's just a brief train stop on to the next movie. So, unfortunately, that's all we get. And there's no point in really getting upset at it right now because it's done. We're moving on. We'll see movie stuff come April.
And then our final worst for 2011. Justin, you want to explain this one a little bit more?
Sure, yeah. One of the things that I've always loved about G.I. Joe throughout the years was that they managed to tell a pretty interesting story through the toys, whether, you know, sometimes it's through the comics, sometimes it's through the cartoon, but a lot of times even just through the toys themselves, like with Barrel Roll and Blackout, the Stahl Brothers, they kind of told a neat story. They really seemed to go the extra mile to tell that story. But I think they really dropped the ball, especially with Wave 4 when we got the Zombie Vipers. And we heard a little bit of a snippet at JoeCon this past year about Compound Z and how it's used to create the Zombie Vipers. Vipers, but I really think Zombie Vipers and the 30th anniversary figures could have been a lot more successful as a whole if Hasbro had found a way to kind of weave a story into them, kind of what motivated Cobra to create the Zombie Vipers, what exactly Compound Z was. Even this last wave four of figures, where you had Sci-Fi and Airtight and Lifeline and the Zombie Vipers all in one wave, almost seemed to be a branding or a storyline built wave, where you had Airtight versus the Zombie Vipers, and your Lifeline could kind of tie into that too. Yet we didn't really get a story to show what happened or what the evolution of the story was. And I think, as popular as the Zombie Vipers already are, and there's people out there buying dozens of them already from online stores, I think they could have been even more popular, or maybe gotten like stuck in the muds like Gary to come around to them if we actually had a story to go along with them.
Hey.
To kind of explain how they came into being, why they came into being, and what the whole purpose of them was. So I think that was really a ball that got dropped by Hasbro. They do need to rely on people like IDW and companies like that to kind of tell the G.I. Joe story, but I think they've got to make some effort to do it with themselves within the toy line too. And I think when they don't do it, they sometimes drop the ball and sometimes lose some of the magic that was G.I. Joe. So that was a big bummer for me. I was really looking forward to these Wave 4 file cards, thinking that, oh wow, maybe they'll tell a little story about how these characters all come together, like how the Zombie Viper evolved to what he is, and we basically got nothing. So that was kind of disappointing to me.
Justin, you just touched upon IDW. I mean, this could have been a great way to tie into their little zombie crossover storyline that they did earlier
Infestation.
In the year.
Yeah.
Infestation. It was laid before Hasbro. I think they really should have taken the opportunity and just stepped right up. The door was open. Walk on through.
I am not a stick in the mud, by the way. Now, I was at JoeCon, and I heard the whole story, and I know how it's going. But it's the potpourri of picking accessories I think sometimes Hasbro runs into. It's like, well, here's what we have access to. Oh, we got the blue heavy water catalytic element that we had for the mass device. Well, let's throw that in there. Well, now we got something blue. How else can we wrap something blue? Well, we got all these nanomite containers that we paint green for the movie. Well, let's paint those blue or include the Hazard Viper into it. And then all of a sudden, you got zombies out of this thing. Once again, love the Zombie Viper. Love the sculpting and everything. Absolutely hate the concept. I'm done.
Stick in the mud.
Hater's gonna hate.
That's right. Hater's gonna hate.
So let's move on to the best of 2011, which I think there's quite a bit to talk about, so it was hard to pare it down to just five things. Number one on the list for us was G.I. Joe Renegades. Even though it was canceled, the actual episodes were just great animation, and the callbacks to the original G.I. Joe run were very neat. And I think if it had to wrap up, it did a pretty good job wrapping up that little period of time.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep in mind that we're recording a segment for another show, so I don't want to rattle on and rattle on and rattle on, but man, I could talk about G.I. Joe Renegades for 3 hours all on its own. It was awesome. Yeah, it was a really cool thing that Hasbro did. They found a way to bring in the G.I. Joe concept without going overboard into the military, yet military was still definitely a part of it. It wasn't perfect. There were the Bio Vipers that were kind of a pain. There was those souped-up laser weapons that weren't so realistic. It got a little formulaic at the beginning, but it really came on to something good. And they were doing some great stories, great plot development, great character development. They weren't afraid to break down some of those barriers. They had a really good way, even though people did complain about the artwork a little bit, they had a great way of taking the right character traits and building on them. Their new Destro was fantastic. Their new Firefly was really cool. Cobra Commander had evolved into something that where people really kind of didn't like his design at the beginning. By the end, with his full face mask and everything, he was a really cool, viable character that looked the part of Cobra Commander. It was doing a lot of things right, and it was really disappointing that it ended, but you know, of course, we're on the best of list now, so we got to talk about what it did well, and I think it told a really cool story, really progressed over the series of episodes, and I thought they did the G.I. Joe concept proud, in spite of what some people would say. I think they really lived up to the brand nicely, and they told a really great story.
The one thing I think I can say I like the best about Renegades is that it set up the story, and then it when it executed and let everything fall into place, that's when it was fantastic. Unfortunately, you know, in hindsight, since it's only a one season show, you can say it took a little too long to set up, but mm-hmm. once it was set up and everything went going, oh my god, the nods, the inside stuff really was good.
Yeah, once it hit like episode 18 through 26, actually 17 I think was Castle Destro, which is when they first met Destro at Destro's castle. Once they kind of got to that point, it really started moving along and doing good things.
Yeah, I admit I was one of the people that was slow to it once it picked up, I was a huge fan. By the time this is aired on the GCRN, you'll still have time. Go to iTunes, and actually Renegade Season 1 is on sale. I believe it's $39.99 for the entire season versus $50. So if you haven't seen Renegade yourself, go to iTunes, download the entire season, $39.99. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. And Greg and Justin and I can tell you that on an Apple iOS device, that video's nice.
Yeah, it looks real pretty.
Yeah, on your Apple iPod or anything like that, or iPad, it's a fantastic video.
Right, and next up on the best list for the year, we had G.I. Joe Retaliation announcements and the trailer, which just came out a couple weeks ago. I think they saved the best for last for this year because the trailer was just awesome.
Absolutely. Oh, it was fantastic. And we've been getting awesome trailer after awesome trailer after awesome trailer the past couple of weeks, and I think Retaliation really holds up to pretty much all of them. I actually enjoy it more than I enjoyed The Dark Knight Rises, and it's right on par there with The Hobbit, which just came out, and also Prometheus, which came out today. It's a bunch of really cool trailers, but yeah, G.I. Joe Retaliation was awesome, and probably my favorite part of the whole G.I. Joe Retaliation experience was more of the social media hype kind of surrounding it. We had a really cool network of guys, G.I. Joe fans and stuff on Twitter, who are really getting behind it and kind of having a chance to interact with John Chu a little bit as he was hyping up the premiere, getting The Rock involved, and just doing some really cool kind of social media interaction stuff and having a blast with it. And that night was one of the most fun nights I've had in a long time with the G.I. Joe fandom. Just the trailer debut, kind of grabbing screen caps, talking about it, ranting, raving about it, saying how cool it was, and just enjoying the public outcry for it. That was definitely a highlight. Not just the trailer itself, obviously the trailer is very cool, but all the events and all the kind of fan interaction leading up to the trailer and the reactions from the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, to see, have a trailer come out that's so hyped up the fan base that they want this movie out yesterday. I mean, that's fantastic. And as Justin said, to go along with the social media integration, The Rock constantly, hyping up this movie, that, John Chu talking with the fans and just the cross with everybody getting so excited for it. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see as the months go by what more stuff comes out for Retaliation until the movie is finally released.
Don't plop yourself on that train quite yet, Chuck, because I believe you were bad-mouthing it a couple weeks ago. But with that said...
Chuck's not getting away with anything tonight.
No,
well,
he's not.
I was trying to keep it positive, just...
Gary's not positive about the trailer.
Careful what you say. It's going to come back and get you. Hey, folks, speaking of the train, hop on now, because if you're not, it's gonna be a full train. You might find difficulty getting on, and I think it's going to be a great movie, and then we'll have Transformer fanboys like TFG1 Mike not being able to complain about it. So tough darts there, guys. This one's going to be a hit.
No kidding. And the best part is that John Chu has said that this was just a teaser, and I guess there's more to come. So, I mean, that blows my mind how a 2.5-minute...
To quote Justin, hell teaser. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. So, I'm fired up. It's going to be a great next 7 months, that's for sure. 6 months. Jeez.
All right. Next up on the list for the best of 2011 was JoeCon 2011 in Orlando, Florida. Gary, would you like to talk about that a little bit?
JoeCon is always my highlight of the entire year. It's when you get a chance to hang out with your buddies. You get to go out and you get to drink some beers. You get to talk G.I. Joe for the entire weekend. Best of all, it was an honest-to-God layback weekend. All the sets sold. All the exclusives sold. It really seemed coming out of this one, everyone was very, very happy. JoeCon 2011 was a hit.
I agree, even though I wasn't there.
And it was an excellent convention set as well.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, between the figure subscription service being announced and between the modern style set, being hugely popular and selling out really quickly, it was obviously a very successful show for not just Joe fans, but also for the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, which only means good things going forward. So I think it can be considered a hit for sure.
Speaking of the club and the figure subscription service, that is number 4 on the best of 2011, as it was announced at JoeCon. And then
I did that on purpose, Greg.
I know. Professionals.
Segway.
It was announced at JoeCon, and we've been getting a whole bunch of reveals over the last couple months with them showing figures and giving hints and stuff like that. So the figures don't actually hit till 2012, but we have a lot of hype going into what the actual figures are going to be when you get them in hand.
Definitely. And there's another thing where social media has really kind of turned the whole promotional world on its ear. And I'm really glad the club has kind of gotten kind of used to that whole scenario, taking advantage of Twitter and Facebook to kind of branch out and get the word out and promote this stuff. And it's been really cool to see these reveals here and there and everywhere. And it's been an awesome experience and a very cool part of 2011.
I absolutely can't wait for these things to start hitting. Let's go over real quick what we know. It's 20 to 25 a figure. They're going to be able to take your payment in three payments or all in one lump sum up front. You need to be a club member in order to participate, so that's a $42 membership fee right there you have to pay right up front. All of them are 25th style carded, single bubble figures with the file card on the back. The 13th figure is free upon your paid subscription, so...
Yep. You won't know what figures you're getting until they arrive.
That's nice.
Mail.
That's a nice little thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bonus, a little surprise.
Custom-made boxes, so to protect your investment. It's not going to be cheap, but I think it's the fact that it's on our list here, and we think it's something good. We think it's something definitely good for the hobby. It was a hot-button issue with a lot of people this year. We'll see come June, maybe next fall, about how this thing pans out. I think it's actually going to come out pretty good.
I think so, too. I'm getting a good vibe with it. I think, especially, you know, with the last reveal being Big Boa, that got a lot of positive reaction, and I seem to see more and more people kind of getting on board, which I think is definitely a good thing.
And then our final great thing for 2011 was the actual 30th anniversary figures and vehicles. So not only did we get the Pursuit of Cobra towards the beginning of the year, it kind of transitioned to the 30th towards the end of the year, and we got great vehicles like the redo of the Sky Striker, a redo of the Vamp, the Black Dragon, the Crimson Hiss, and then a whole helping of awesome figures like Law and Order and Airtight and Sci-Fi and Lifeline and Stalker. And it's probably been one of the best years in Joe action figures I can remember in quite a while.
It's so amazing just that this is, for the past couple of years, G.I. Joe has kind of been considered in, I don't want to say a downward trend, but it kind of in a dipping point in its cycle where, you know, Rise of Cobra had a little bit of a negative impact at retail, so Hasbro has been kind of scaling things back a little bit. So you can kind of consider 2010 and 2011 to be quote-unquote down years for the G.I. Joe brand, yet the figures they've been releasing have been so awesome, and you nailed it, Greg, with the examples you mentioned, like Law & Order and Lifeline and Sci-Fi and Airtight, and it's incredible. When the 25th anniversary came out in 2007, I was so lukewarm about it. The whole idea of, you know, regurgitating what we've gotten over the past 25 years into one modern-style toy line that just didn't really bring a whole lot new to the table, and in fact was almost less articulate than the previous brand. To see the difference between the 25th anniversary and the 30th anniversary and how they've really refined that Pursuit of Cobra style, a kind of modern military aesthetic. It's fantastic. They have come such a long way in the past 4 years, and I agree totally. The 30th anniversary was an absolute highlight. It's been amazing just seeing the engineering, seeing the details, seeing the construction of these figures. Hasbro designers have just been knocking it out of the park, and by far, this was one of the major highlights. I'm a G.I. Joe fanboy and a G.I. Joe Hasbro apologist anyway, but I haven't had to apologize for a lot of these figures because people realize exactly how cool they are. You stack them up next to any other toy line out there, any one of them, and I defy anybody to look at a Star Wars figure compared to a G.I. Joe figure, look at a Marvel figure compared to a G.I. Joe figure, and you tell me which figure is more detailed, more well-articulated, and more well-made. You're not going to find a better one than the 4-inch G.I. Joes.
Sum it all up. Everything was great vehicle-wise. Even the fact that we had repaints. I mean, the repaints were solid. But the fact that we got a Sky Striker, everybody in, you know, every Joe and their Joe fan, cousins, uncles, brothers, monkey, whatever, was asking for this thing to come back out. Well, good, there, you got it. The fact that they even went as far as doing some sort of lame crossover with Transformers for San Diego Comic-Con says something. Now, would you stop asking for crossovers, please? Thank you.
No, not after Starscream. He was so popular, man. That's all we're going to get from that.
I know.
Deal with it. You know what we're going to get this year for San Diego Comic Con? We're going to get
probably another crossover.
I was going to say it's going to be a Zombie Viper Transformers crossover.
Well, we'll see how the Transformer fans think about that.
All right, and there you have it. Those are our best and worst for 2011 from the guys at What's on Joe Mind.
Well, that does it. You can talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. You can also download our show along with other great GCRN podcasts at iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio, and GeekCastRadio.com. We'd like to thank Mike and Steve for adding us to the GCRN network for 2011. We really look forward to 2012 being a strong year for G.I. Joe. And we would like to remind you, Mike, yes, TFG1 Mike, if it wasn't for G.I. Joe, your online nickname would probably be more like Leader 1 Mike or Jedi Mike or something far more lame. We mean cool than your TFG1 moniker now. So for our showrunner, Greg, our co-host, Justin and Chuck, I'm Gary, saying to all our men and women serving, God bless, Godspeed, and come home safe. Good night, folks, and thanks for listening to this special GCRN Year in Review edition of What's on Joe Mind, the official podcast of Rollout Roll Call 3. And now back to the studios to Steve, Leader 1, Michael, and Kevin. See ya.
See ya.
Merry Christmas. Mr. Keith, I love you with this year.